We're still talking about...
You asked me to make a note. Start by looking at the parable of the man with the wrong wedding garment on the next time we met.
Yeah, you're here. So let's go to Matthew 31, I think. But it may not be. Let's go there. Matthew 22:11. Well, actually, it's not in Matthew 22:1. Remember the whole of the last part of Matthew, last 10 or so verses, are about... No, not that. That's not right. There's a section in Matthew that he read during the 4 days that he was in Jerusalem, or after the 4 days. The first, he entered Jerusalem on the 10th of Nisan, and he was crucified on the 14th. And remember that on the 10th, they laid out palm branches for him, sang the great Hallel. You know, but 4 days later, they crucified him, and not one rejected him, or not one was on his side. Everybody yelled, "Crucify him," or was silent. And so this is one of the main parables that caused everybody to yell, "Crucify him," in those 4 days. He pushed everybody over the cliff, or to the point of really not just having some kind of an intellectual belief, but either have it all or nothing. What?
I was just thinking about it.
Huh? Oh. But he had just finished one of the biggies, where it was the wicked husbandman in the previous chapter. So now, in chapter 1, 22. And Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parables, and said, "The kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king, which made a marriage for his son, and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. And he sent forth other servants, saying, Tell them which are bidden, Behold, I prepared my dinner, my oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready, come unto the marriage. But they made light of it, and would not, and went their ways, to one to his farm, another to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servants and treated them spitefully and slew them. But when the king had heard, he was wroth and sent forth his armies and destroyed the murderers and burned the city. Then saith he to his servants, The wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as you shall find, bid them to the marriage. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all, as many as they had found, both bad and good. And the wedding was furnished with guests. And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw that a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he said unto him, Friend, how comest thou in hither, not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. And then said they, the king, to the servants, Bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. And there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen. Now the idea that he knew he had on the wrong garment doesn't wash in this parable, because he was astonished. He didn't know what the guy was talking about, that you have on the wrong garment. But if you know what you have on the wrong garment and still think you're going to the wedding feast, then you've got a big problem. And the wrong garment is any garment, the righteousness of Christ is our garment. But it's not just his righteousness, it's his life. And if any of it is returned to our own life, then that's where you spot the garment.
It's interesting, it says, and as they found both bad and good, so your condition.
Right, except entering, they have to have the wedding garment.
Yeah. So that's the key.
So does that explain why I disagreed with you?
No, because
you still think that the guy was could have known he had on the wrong garment?
Well, wasn't it my question the other time was, everybody knew that there was a special way to dress to a wedding.
Well, that's not true. I mean, he said he was astonished that he didn't know he had on the any kind of wrong garment.
Well, I could be astonished, and that would not mean that I didn't know I was supposed to be dressed like God. I might be astonished by the fact that I was just invited with no merit to myself, and I came in carelessly. I'm astonished that you paid attention to that, to me, or I still don't. My thought was that I don't think in my mind that man didn't know he wasn't dressed in a wedding garment, because he was speechless. You know, he chose to carelessly walk in as no consideration to the offer of that.
But then he wouldn't have been speechless.
Pardon me?
But there's nothing that backs up what you say.
No, but there's nothing that backs up. Saying speechless means not knowledgeable of the customs of those times, which there was a special way to dress to weddings.
Well, you said that. I know you said that many times, but I'm not sure that's the point.
This isn't about those times. This is about all of time.
I think this started in a different context, and now, you know, I'm just trying to say that, you know, there's something to it, to, you know, there were good and bad there. Now, you know, now we're going, I don't know, I don't remember or recall the context that all this started a week ago, but my point at that time was just that the fact that it says speechless doesn't mean that he had no knowledge of how he was dressed to attend that wedding. And, you know.
Okay, that's fine.
Yeah.
I don't want to talk about it anymore.
Okay.
I do have one comment. I think the point for us is we need to understand what a wedding garment is about. And this guy didn't understand. He might have been dressed perfectly out, but he didn't know what the wedding garment was. Hopefully we do know what it is. And this is telling us you better have the understanding of what a wedding garment is when you go to the wedding. So if we understand that, then we're not that guy. But at least have a...
All right. Let's go to Matthew. Now we're going to go back to thinking about looking at end times. Go to Matthew 24. And it's going to take us a while because there are a whole lot of sections in the Bible about the end times, but sometimes we don't know. It doesn't seem like they're about any kind of particular time. But this one is obvious, so let's just start reading in Matthew.
I have a question first. Is when you refer to end times, is it always when the world is destroyed, blown up, or whatever, the whole world systems disintegrate or whatever, as opposed to can end times be today? Which one are we talking about?
Well, it doesn't matter which one. I think it's the scriptures are clear. It's when it will be the end of time.
So that's what you're talking about, right? When you're talking about end times.
Right. I mean, but let's look and see if that's...
All right.
So, somebody besides me read, otherwise we'll never get done. Read Matthew 24, starting in verse 1. Go ahead, Gary.
And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming, and of thy end of the world, or the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass.
Oh. Stop a minute there. Many shall come in my name saying, I am Christ. It's not the people aren't saying they are Christ. The people are saying, they're agreeing that he is the Christ. And that gets confusing here because you see what I'm saying? He's really, in Greek, it's no question, he's saying that they're agreeing that he is the Christ. But, I don't know what the but is about, it's what the rest of it is about.
Okay. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, see that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There shall be famines, pestilences, earthquakes in diverse places, and these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name.
Can you speak up a little bit, Gary?
Okay. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. When you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. Whoso readeth, let him understand.
Okay. Now, almost all of the any theologian that I have ever heard or talked to or studied, even in long time ago, it's when you see the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel, a prophet, stand in the holy place. Now, you know, the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel was what? Anybody remember?
False idol set up in the temple.
Yeah, the Antichrist, or the false god, is set set in the Holy of Holies. No, isn't that what we do?
Yeah.
The temple's destroyed. It's not going to be built again. But now it's talking about us. Which, who's on the mercy seat in you? Who's on the mercy seat in you is the temple of God. The answer, unfortunately, is for many it's themselves. And because we're still living in time and space. Anybody understand that?
That's what we fight against.
If this doesn't scare, what?
That's what we fight against in the preaching of the cross that being preached is addressing that issue.
Well, there's a lot of things that address that issue, but people ignore it. But the idea that you have to die in order to that he can live is then the preaching of the cross. All right. Go ahead.
Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child and to them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. For then shall be great tribulation, such as not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elder's sake, those days shall be shortened.
It should say elect's sake.
Mm-hmm.
It should say elders. It should say elect's sake.
It does say
but
for
elect.
The elder's sake, those days shall be shortened.
Verse 22 reminds us for the elect's sake.
Except anyway. Those days should be shortened. There should no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake.
Yeah, you said elders. I just wanted to
hear
your translation.
Yeah.
Thank you for that correction. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that, if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. For as a lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of the trumpet, and there shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Now, learn a parable of
the fig tree.
Keep going?
Yeah.
Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, you know that summer is nigh. So likewise ye, when you shall see all these things, know that it is near, even as the doors. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away.
Okay, does everybody understand what that means in verse 34? I say unto you, verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled?
No, I don't understand it, because it looks like Jesus is saying that the end will come
in that generation.
At his crucifixion, perhaps.
Pardon?
At his crucifixion.
No, just in his generation. But it doesn't say that. It says it in English, but and the verb tense isn't part of the verb. That part just before that, it's obviously that it's speaking of an unknown time. All right. Well, then it goes on. I'm going to read it for a minute. But wait a minute. Before that, here when it says that they were saying there are many Christs or false Christs arrive, that hasn't really taken place yet, because here it's not just talking about false believers, it's false people who say they are the Christ.
And, there are a number of people around the world now that are saying that.
Yeah, I know that, but my point was that it was part of it that seemed like it was talking about just that generation.
Okay.
All right. But of the day and the hour, no man knoweth. Not the angels of heaven, but my Father. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, and until the day that Noah entered the ark, into the ark. And knew not until a flood came, and took them all away. So shall also be the coming of the Son of Man. Then shall two which be in the field. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken, the other left. The two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord cometh. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be you also ready, for such as an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Now, there's just about every Christian church in the world that is now talking about these end times. And that's kind of a first. Maybe the first century church looked at it, but I don't know of any other time in history when the majority of the churches around the world were talking about the end times. And it's to me, it's just in the air. It's maybe that's because I want it to happen so quickly.
Feels end time issue.
Yeah.
But anyway, we'll continue. There's we spent a lot of time going through these, and there's some really interesting stuff in it. So, but I don't feel like talking anymore. Any other thoughts or comments? Take a big guy. And we leave at 8:45.
If this, in fact, are the end times, then I should be getting myself ready.
That's why I preach it so long. Make sure the garment isn't spotted by the flesh. The only way you can do that is live by faith alone. All right. Well, I am going to, since I ate breakfast because I didn't remember what time we were going to leave. So I don't have the chore of eating breakfast before we go. So,
Lisa, can you call me when you're on the way back to the doctor? Because I may ask you to, you and Ollie, to meet me up at the bike so we can sign a few things.
Oh, okay.
You have your ride?
Yeah, I'm supposed to take her if it happens, right? It probably will be taking her, but it might end up being Jeff. Either Jeff or I will run you down there. No problem. We'll get you to the bus station on time.
Just because I'm going to have to be going somewhere today as well, what time and when maybe I can go to the physical therapy?
Well, she has to be at the bus stop at the Greyhound station at 11. And her bus leaves at around noon.
Okay.
12:15. She has to be there 1 hour in advance.
I have to be there at physical therapy at 9:30. So
yeah, that won't
maybe
be.
So early. Never mind. Just thought I'd call her back there.
We'll get her there.
I should look at my time, too. I'm going to do the basic test. You didn't just